Charlie, thank you so much for your time. I'm absolutely stoked that I get to chat to you this afternoon, evening for you. Take me back to the very, very start. How has music come into your life? When did you start that journey?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, good question. So my mum used to play piano, and then my grandma also played piano. And so we had a bit of music in the family. But when I was in primary school, we had to pick a stringed instrument, so violin or cello or viola. And I thought cello was the coolest one, so I went with that. And I liked it, but I wasn't like, oh, I freaking love it. And I ended up going to a few all-ages shows at the Prince of Wales and at Fed Square here in Melbourne. And I think I saw the Cat Empire a few times, and I noticed the trumpet, and I was like, ooh, that's a cool instrument. Like, what's that? And so I asked my parents if I could get some lessons on the trumpet. And yeah, instantly I was like, yes, something about this for me, I really enjoy. And so, yeah, that was my first instrument. And from there, yeah, I played it at school, and I really enjoyed playing in different ensembles. And then I went to TAFE, and then I went to uni, and then, I think 2015, I finished the course at the VCA, and from there started playing in different bands, and mainly in like horn sections and stuff. But this project, Charlie Needs Braces, is the first kind of more solo project for me, where I'm writing all the music myself. So yeah, it's really different and really fun as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's fascinating. So when you were studying at VCA, was that like effectively you're studying classical music or jazz?
Jazz.
Right. Jazz, okay.
Yes. I guess, yeah, with a lot of the music I do, there's, I wouldn't say it's like, I wouldn't call it jazz, but it does have influences of jazz in it, like a lot of improvising with solos, and trumpets really, really lends itself to that because it's such a loud instrument.
One of my questions as well was going to be like, you know, they say that like an instrument chooses you, you don't choose the instrument. So yeah, would that definitely be the case with you and the trumpet? Like it's a calling?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, when it's, you're just like, your mind's made up instantly, you're like, yes.
Yeah, there's it's a like pull, a connection.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, oh, yes, of course, this is perfect.
Yeah, a little bit louder, a little bit more raucous, yeah.
Yeah, and such a physical instrument as well, like it's all about, you know, breathing, and it makes you breathe properly, and I think that's quite a relaxing part of playing the trumpet. Like you have to take deep breaths and you have to breathe you know, consistently. And you know, I guess I'd say often people, like, we all forget to do that.
Yeah, wow. That's like
day-to-day life. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a form of mindfulness, like, almost, you know, that they say, and that meditative coming back to your breath, which is really great. Yeah. So the other thing is, you know, I have to congratulate you on the album, your debut that's just come out, what, like 2 weeks ago or something, or coming up to.
Yeah, thank you.
It is such a delight to listen to. I just feel like it is packed with joy, and it's just really like, yeah, there's a brightness and a happiness that just exudes from it. Where is that coming from? Like, what's been going on in your life? I guess that's I can hear in the music.
Yeah, I guess a few things, but I think the main thing with this record is I wanted to really focus on celebration. And I guess, like with my background, I wanted to use language in the songs, and I wanted to celebrate culture and connection. And I also wanted to learn more words as well. So it gave me a sort of it's like, ooh, how do you say this and how do you say that, and talking to different family about it. So it's also a bit of an exploration into my mob in particular, the Gurungai people, who are, we're up on the central coast, north of Sydney. And that was my, I think that I'd say that's my main focus.
Yeah.
With the record, yeah, celebration of culture and inspiration from different words. And I guess too, with the words in particular, a lot of Indigenous words and the names of places have a lot of story behind them. And so it's interesting to sort of find out, you know, more about it. And I think when you, you know, when you write songs about some parts of history which are pretty difficult, I think music is a good way to kind of, it's like a gentler way of expressing, you know, how you feel and the things that have happened, and acknowledging different aspects.
On that note, it's something I picked up in a lot of your lyrics on the album. We're discussing, you know, that I guess the age old, the painfulness of Australia's past and how we move forward. I really loved how you talked, I feel, a little bit about that on Misinformation, with the repeat of this line, keep talking to me, let's have a conversation. Tell us a bit more, I guess, about that track, and was I on the money there? Was I picking up on the right thing? It could have been about social media and stuff as well, but yeah.
Yeah, that's actually... I'm happy to hear you say that, because it wasn't exactly about that, but it's awesome that you sort of read it as that, because that's it's great to have songs where it's open to interpretation and means different things. I would say that song, I wrote it in the lockdowns down here. At that time, there was a lot of, you know, different things on the internet, and so hard to digest through what was true and what wasn't true.
Yeah,
and
the old conspiracy theory.
You know, all the, you know, you felt like your mind was getting clouded with all these different things happening. But I think, yeah, that line, a friend of mine was, we were at a bar once, sort of after COVID or the lockdowns, and she was saying, you know how bars have started to, you order on your phone?
Right,
and
yes.
You don't go to the bar stuff? Yeah, so she was like, no, I'm going to order at the bar, and like, it's really important for people to talk to each other, strangers or not, and still to have that connection. And I guess sometimes for some people that might be the only social connection someone might have, or, you know, so it's really important to keep that going, because we also lose our skills, like we lose our social skills. And
absolutely, I was thinking about this actually just the other day, in terms of I've started working from home, and I realized, like, again, I'm a bit of an introvert anyway, so like there's a part of it that I love, but I realized I don't know if it's helping me socially. Like, I feel like that tendency in me to be closed off is just getting worse and worse, rather than when you practice the skill and you have to, like, be in an office and you have to be talking to people and doing things like that. But there are so many opportunities now for us not to to talk to each other. You
interact,
can order Uber Eats. You don't have to, like, go to a restaurant anymore. You can just really isolate yourself, and I don't know if that's always the best thing.
Also like when you're sort of like in the lockdowns, one thing I noticed was I missed the interaction at, you know, work or at the shops or wherever, where you bump into people and you might just have a really, you know, a really short conversation, but it just something about it is just, it keeps the day really fresh. But when you're more isolated, you tend to just talk to good friends.
Right.
And that's good. But then you get into your bubble of perspective and yes. your bubble of views, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that part of, I guess, something that you wanted to explore on this album? Because it feels very much like firstly, a love letter to community and to family. But I feel like there's this great mm-hmm. sense of like, yeah, wanting to connect, wanting to communicate with people. Would you say that's like, I guess, something that you're really hoping that your music will achieve? Like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, totally. I guess it's just something that's happened naturally, but connecting all ages as well, not just adults, like doing shows where it's, you know, older people, middle-aged people, younger people, super young kids, babies, that kind of thing. And I think I think that sort of approach where it's not just, you know, often you go to gigs and it's like 18 plus. It's very sort of segregated in a sense, but I like when there's, you know, festivals and shows which are open to, you know, everyone, because I think, yeah, music is such a powerful way of bringing people together. Why not have it? Why not share it?
All inclusive. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I have to ask as well about one other track on the album. It's the opening one. It's so cinematic and just firstly, what does Alla Indore mean? And why I feel like there's something special about opening and closing tracks to an album. What was True. It? Why did you want to start Saltwater People with that particular track? Yeah.
Yeah, so Alla Indore Ueri means, hey, it's a beautiful day.
Wow.
How are you going? And then at the end of the song, Mulberry, 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 Mulberry means dance, dance, dance. So yeah. I was wanting to open with that track because I wanted it to be like my welcome song kind of thing.
Right.
An introduction to the journey or to the record. And I often open with that one at shows. And I think it turned into quite a dancey track. And I guess I also liked it at the beginning because it has this sort of sweeping feeling where it's like, all right, it's the beginning, something's happening, kind of exciting. So I wanted to get that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely achieves that. Like it feels very anticipatory. Like there's something momentous about to happen. And it's just, I love that feeling. Just kudos on that track. It's absolutely spectacular. Wanted to ask as well about like a lot of your songwriting, you know, I know that you use a loop station and a lot of the songs have been created that way. You have this incredible knack of there'll be such, you know, using a repeated frame can get, you would think it would get exhausting for the ear, but you use it as a way to take melody and harmony and rhythm to just wonderful places. Like you start from this very small idea and then it expands outward. Firstly, like, yeah. Did that take time to perfect? And are you going to continue writing songs this way? Do you think this is like the songwriting technique for you, or are you going to expand into other, methods, I guess?
Yeah. I definitely enjoy using the loop station as a, almost like a limitation, because it's like, okay, how can you be creative when you've got all these limitations, like, you know, repetition, and it's, you're using layers essentially where you're adding and subtracting different layers, and trying to make it interesting for the ear is definitely challenging. But yeah, I like it a lot, and I think I want to experiment more with it. So at the moment I mainly have loops of 1 to 2 bars, and I would like to experiment with some songwriting where I try doing maybe, you know, 4 or 6 or 8 bars, like just experiment a little bit more with that and see what comes up.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think I definitely want to keep going with the looping. I enjoy doing that live, as it is terrifying. Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying.
There's so much risk. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, it's been really interesting because you have, and I see other people doing, you know, live looping as well, who are really good at, you know, they make mistakes and they have a really great way of either making a joke about the mistake and doing it again, or working with it and just, you know, it's, that's how it is that day. Yeah, I enjoy that, but at first it was very terrifying. Now I've sort of gotten used to it.
Was it a transition moving from working in other people's projects to having so much attention on you and like having to carry a show, like with, yeah, being more in the limelight?
Yeah, definitely. It's absolutely terrifying. Like, it's really, you know, because I'm used to being in a horn section, or usually in like quite a big band. Like, I've played in 6 pieces and 10 pieces and quartets and all kinds of things, but solo is so, yeah, it's so freaky. But I think I now feel, compared to at the beginning, I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm enjoying it heaps, and I'm spending a bit more time getting the audience to interact.
Oh, fab.
A bit more, getting more crowd participation, and being quite a bit more bossy with getting them to be involved.
Yeah.
Which, and I've kind of just watched other people do it really well and gone, oh, what are they doing? How could I do that? You know, just sort of being inspired by other artists who do it a similar thing and are really good with crowds. So, yeah, and I think I've done quite a few all-ages gigs, and particularly like much younger kids, like 12 and under, and they love crowd participation. I think that sort of helped my confidence a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if I can get their sort of attention, then, you know, I can work with, continue to work with that energy.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's, I think sometimes kids are so much more open. So I feel like it's great for adults to learn to let go and go back to being a kid. If audience participation is a way, like, definitely, yeah. I would encourage that. Like, and there's something magical about hearing like a whole room of people do something all together. Like, whether even it's as simple as a hand clap, or I don't know. I love that communal thing where everyone's like giving something and contributing.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think when it's just you on stage, it's really nice to have more. It feels like you have more support with vocals when you get people to sing along with you, or to do dance moves, or just to get them check on how they're going, like, are they having a good time and that kind of thing. All very, like, sounds very simple, but it does make it more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you and for the audience, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of performances, did you do anything special for the launch of Saltwater People? Like, did you have or have you had it yet? Is it coming? Like, have you got a big launch planned?
So I have a tour. So I've started the tour. I did a show at St Kilda Festival on Sunday, which was really fun. And then I've got a bunch of dates around like regional Victoria, in Melbourne, in Mallacoota, Kiama. But check out the I'm not very good with dates.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am going to be around.
Is there a particular track on the album that you're most proud of, and why? Like, is there something that kind of like feels like a standout to you for whatever personal reason?
Yeah, I really like Dowry Young. It was the first single that I released. So Dowry Young means stingray, and it's my mob's totem. And so it's a very special symbol and animal. And we also made a film clip for that one. And yeah, it was just one of those things where it came together quite quickly, and every time I play it live, it's just really fun. And yeah, it's definitely
it's an anthem, I feel. And so yeah, it's fascinating to hear that story. We knew that it meant stingray, but I wasn't necessarily aware that it was like the totem. And why is that animal so significant like in your culture?
Yeah, so the totems are, so your mob looks after that animal. So for instance, so Gurungai mob are saltwater. So we're along the beach, and would like back in the day doing a lot of fishing. And so when you're catching a stingray, particularly to keep the balance of the ecosystem and the aquamarine life, generally the totems are, you know, there might not be that many stingrays. So it's like, okay, well, we don't want them to go extinct, and we want to keep the balance right. So we're not going to touch that animal.
Right. It's like almost sacred and to be respected. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the story was one of our ancestors, Bungari, was known for always throwing back the stingray, and then we know that it's our totem, and so we use that symbol a lot in art as well.
Yeah.
That's sort of the background on that.
Yeah, beautiful. And yeah, I have to again say, like, the video clips, I haven't even touched on them, but they're so, again, just that, I feel like the music is so joyful, but then the visual accompaniment is that extension of just like the vibrancy of everything that's going on. And it really celebrates the land in a very spectacular way. And I was going to ask, you're mostly independent, right? Like, so how did those film clips come about? Did people approach you wanting to make them, or did you make them yourself? Or
yeah, so luckily enough, so Master Kapow, he's a producer, and he recorded the album and mixed it. He also is really good at making videos. And so he filmed both the video clips. We get along quite well, and we both sort of had a similar idea and direction of what we wanted. Yeah, it really helps when the director and the videographer is open to different ideas, because I really wanted quite a lot of say in it as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can be hard to share, you know, that sort of dynamic, but I think we were both really happy with what we sort of got.
Yeah.
With the two clips. Yeah.
You very much should be. It's they're just so visually striking, and I feel like they're a wonderful accompaniment to the music, and it definitely like is the visual representation of what it sounds like. I could talk to you all day, though. Honestly, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, and thanks for playing my songs. Oh, it's awesome.
Absolute pleasure. Definitely wish you all the best touring around.
Thank
you. I really hope that Saltwater People gets just more and more notoriety. And if you ever come to WA, you'll make one person at least very, very happy.
Yeah.
So all right. Awesome. But thank you so much, and
thank you heaps.